Blessing of the Lord to personalize that wonderful message, what he's done for me because of the cross. We're going to delve a little bit more into that this morning. It is a subject of which we never tire. And so let's turn this morning to the 20th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. Matthew 20. We will begin reading with verse 20. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She said unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left, in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, You know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, We are able. He said unto them, You shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. I want to speak this morning on the baptism of Jesus. As Jesus asked them, Are you ready to drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they say, Yes, we are. And he said, You shall surely do exactly that. The context of Jesus' words here are in regard to ministry. That's what he's talking about. He's asking these disciples, are you willing to follow the path of ministry that I have already chosen, that I indeed am going to fulfill? They replied that they were. And then, as we noted, he said, yes, you will do exactly that. And he is talking about the martyrdom that is waiting for them when they continue on this path. This is exactly the same pattern that the Apostle Paul mentions for himself and indeed for us. I want to point out the difference here because, you see, these would be drinking of the same cup. They would be baptized with the same baptism, but it's not for the same purpose. There is no way that the disciples are Paul, as we will see here presently, none of us participate, none of us had anything to do with making atonement. That was the ministry of Jesus' baptism. That is why he was baptized. That is why he drank the bitter cup. But although we drink of the same cup, baptized with the same baptism, we in no wise make atonement. Colossians 1:24, we'll not turn there, but Paul says, Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind, or that which is lacking, of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church. It's the same baptism. It is a baptism unto suffering, and it's for the same reason. That is being poured out under the will of God. That's what Jesus was telling the disciples. This is what Paul is telling us here in Colossians. Some of these sufferings of Christ were left behind on purpose for us. And they are indeed for the benefit of the rest of the body, but I repeat, they in no wise make any kind of atonement. They are also experienced in our flesh, as the Apostle Paul says, or in this present physical human body. And they are for the benefit, again, of the body of Christ, ministering to those to whom God would have us minister. And they are experienced because we are poured out to the will of God exactly the same way that Jesus was. Now, these disciples wanted a place on the right hand of Jesus and on the left. But Jesus tells them emphatically that that place is not his to give. He doesn't deny that there is such a place. He just says at this point, it's not for me to give. But as we read in verse 23, not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. God does have a place, and we find who gets that. Again, we will not turn there, but you remember the verse well. Romans 8:17 says that we can be joint heirs with Christ. And again, the same truth comes forward to us, and that is, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. The price for gaining that place is to be baptized with his baptism, drink of his cup, be willing to suffer for the will of God, exactly as Jesus was. These are the ones for whom that place is prepared. But today, I want to see the baptism of Jesus in another glorious way. And this is the baptism for all believers. There is nothing said about suffering in order to partake of this baptism at all. You find the truth of it, as we have seen repeatedly in recent weeks. Romans 6, verses 3 and 4 says this: Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we're buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. This is true of every believer. And there is not one word said about suffering the way there is in relation to ministry. This is something that every believer must experience if he is going to be with Christ, if he is going to be in heaven, if he is going to escape the pangs and the horrors of hell, he must be baptized with this baptism into the death of Jesus. And I want to pursue that avenue in the message this morning. We spoke last week in regard to circumcision and baptism. They both teach exactly the same message, that is, that the flesh must be cut off, and then God brings forth newness of life. Baptism, as I told you, is a New Testament doctrine. But today, I want to see at least four examples of baptism in the Old Testament, and they teach the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's exactly what baptism is. That's what John's baptism was designed to do, is to show the path of Jesus in securing life for all men, in securing the ability that men would have to believe on Christ and be saved. The first example of baptism is in the Red Sea. We'll not turn there, but Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and verses 2 and 3, that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea. That's the Red Sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. The teaching of the Red Sea is this. Paul says they were baptized into the sea. Here's what it means. We know that the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea and they came over on dry ground. We remember the miracle of the strong east wind that held back those waters. And there was a dry path where they didn't even get their feet wet. That's the same truth that is taught by baptism. You and I came through death without dying. We didn't even get our feet moist or damp. It was on completely dry land. We felt none of the effects of the water or death or judgment that is represented there by the Red Sea. They were all under the cloud. The cloud is representative of the Spirit of God. You and I also were ushered by the power of the Holy Ghost into this death, burial, and resurrection with the Lord Jesus Christ. All baptized unto the cloud. Hebrews 11:29 declares what happened with Israel as opposed to the Egyptians. By faith they, that is the Israelites, passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, as we noted, which the Egyptians, as saying to do, were drowned. The Egyptians were not protected by the blood of the Passover as were the Israelites. They were not protected by the Spirit of God, the cloud, as were those of Israel. And so they tried to go through the waters of the Red Sea, but they were drowned. You see, if you're not baptized with the baptism of Jesus, there is no salvation. And so Israel crossed over death without dying, but the Egyptians were not able to accomplish that. Then the second example is the crossing of the Jordan River. It tells exactly the same story. They went over on dry ground. They didn't even get their feet wet. They felt none of that. The difference, the major difference in the crossing of the Red Sea and the Jordan spiritually is that crossing of the Red Sea emphasizes death. There was death everywhere with all those Egyptians laying on the seashore. And the great lesson of the Jordan, yes, they came through death, but resurrection is emphasized on the other side as they came out in the promised land. And so the teaching is exactly the same. They came through death without dying. Baptized with Christ means that we have gone down into death with Him, but we have come up in newness of life. Then the third example we see this morning is by Noah and the flood. And for this one, let's turn to 1 Peter, the third chapter, because Peter puts it so beautifully using much of the same terminology that the Apostle Paul employs. 1 Timothy, the third chapter. And we read in verse 21, the like figure, whereinto even baptism does also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And to understand, to know how that Peter arrived at that conclusion, let us go back to the 18th verse of this same chapter. Peter tells us that Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Verse 20, which were sometime disobedient. There are so many questions that are beautifully answered by the Word of God when we search for it. This one tells us that there were those in the time of Noah who rejected the preaching of that faithful preacher of righteousness. He built an ark before them, and he pointed the way and said, "This is the way of salvation. If you just get into my ship, then you will be saved from the waters of judgment." But they refused to do that. By and large, everyone rejected except the family of Noah. But we read here, after Jesus' spirit left his body there on the cross of Christ, we have brought this out a number of times before, Jesus' spirit did not go down to hell and grapple with Satan, try to wrestle the keys of the kingdom away from him. Jesus already had won the victory. He had already won the battle whenever the event of the cross was over. That's why he said, "It is finished." There is no more battle. There is nothing left to do. And then he commended his spirit into the hands of his Father. And we find here at this place that Jesus went where all the righteous dead had gone from Abel on down. And that is unto Upper Sheol, or what is known as paradise. And he went there on a mission, as we read in verse 19, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. The message that he preached is that I am going to take you out of here. It was a message of deliverance whereby he took all of those spirits back to heaven with him. And now then, paradise, or Abraham's bosom, or Upper Sheol, has been relocated into heaven. Then we come here that some of those spirits, they were those that sometime were disobedient when the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing. What happened was that there were people who had completely rejected Noah's message until the rains began to fall. But when they did, they realized this man was telling the truth, and they cried out to God for mercy, and he saved them in their dying hour. Exactly the same truth that we find with the thief who hung on the cross beside Jesus. He repented, and Jesus said, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." That thief was one of the ones that Jesus preached to, and he went right back to glory with Jesus 3 days later. But what about the teaching of baptism? Now, spiritually, they went, they experienced that baptism into death with Jesus, because his death was their death. But it is so beautifully illustrated by the ark and the family of Noah, because you will notice here, they waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that would have been, I think, 8 of them, Noah and his family, that is, 8 souls were saved by water. Then Peter tells us the like figure. He's talking about water baptism. And this is exactly the same teaching. You see, it was the ark that felt, as it were, all of the judgment of God. All of the waters of wrath God rained down upon the earth. All of that hit the ark too. All of that indeed fell upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it was Jesus who bore the full brunt of God's judgment, the full brunt of the excess of sin that was brought about there at the cross of Calvary. And it was Jesus who suffered the death that was due all of them. There is only one reason that Noah and his family survived the flood. Only one. That's because they were inside the ark. There is only one reason that you and I have been spared all of the judgment of God and all of hell, is because we are inside the ark of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's simply because we believed exactly what he said. It was Jesus who bore the judgment. It was Jesus who bore the death. He bore the guilt. He bore the penalty of sin. He experienced the death that was due unto all humanity. It is exactly the same truth that we saw both in the Red Sea and in Jordan. They came through death without dying because Jesus bore all of that. Then you will notice that Peter says, it's not the putting away of the sins of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. You can be baptized as many times as you want to. You can put bleach in it if you want to. But it will not cleanse the conscience. Only faith in what Jesus has done is going to give us an absolute clear conscience before God. And so he alone bore the punishment for the filth of the flesh. And then the last example, let us go back to 2 Kings, the 5th chapter. 2 Kings 5. This is the story of Naaman. And Naaman was a leper. Leprosy in the scripture is symbolic of sin because there is no cure for it outside of God. And he has shown again and again, as we find in this instance, how that he can cure leprosy. But the way he did it in this particular place is such a glorious wonder because Naaman was in effect baptized in the River Jordan. 2 Kings, the 5th chapter. Let us go down to verse 10. Naaman came to Elisha, and Elisha sent a messenger unto him. Didn't even bother to go out and see the man. And boy, was Naaman this high-ranking official in the enemy army. He was absolutely offended that he was not treated with greater respect. And so we find out that Elisha simply sent a messenger unto him saying, "Go, wash in the Jordan 7 times. Thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." This is the first thing that we see about this baptism into death with Jesus. It's simplicity. Just wash and be clean. This is God's way. You don't have to go through all of these contortions and all of these other things that men would have us do. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be clean just by washing in the River Jordan. The River Jordan is very specific here, and God uses that for a reason. It's no accident Jesus was baptized in Jordan. God was still carrying through the same truth from the Old Testament to the New. The truth of the Jordan, it means descender. It flows into the Dead Sea. And that means exactly what it says. It is symbolic of death, which in turn leads to eternal death. It describes Jesus' journey to the cross and what he did at the cross. There is an extended meaning of Jordan. It literally means to go downward to a lower region, even into enemy territory. Does that not describe Jesus and what he did there at the cross of Christ? Hebrews 2:9 says it this way, "But we see Jesus, who was made for a little," or for a little while, "lower than the angels." He went into a lower region, but indeed a region wherein angels have not even traveled, or men. It was for the suffering of death, but he's been crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. And that means, whether men accept it or not, Jesus has already paid the price for every sin that has ever committed, been committed, or ever will commit it. People are sometimes shocked when you say that men don't go to hell for their sins, but they don't. There's only one reason men go to hell, and that's because they reject the way out. They reject the ark. They reject Jesus. If they were just in the ark, they would be saved. That's the only thing that Noah and his family had going above everyone else. Philippians 2:7 tells us of this journey into the lower regions. He made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of men. This describes going into the lower region, that he went to the lowest of the low. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. He became obedient unto death. And then we come to this last part that is singled out, even the death of the cross. Because the death of the cross was reserved for the most despicable sinners that ever there were. God demonstrated by letting Barabbas go, and Jesus died in his place. Jesus descended into the lower regions where man has never gone. The lower region was actually the depths of outer darkness, and that's what Jesus experienced when he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's a place that man has never gone, where he is totally rejected by God, and God has completely turned his back on him, but that's what happened to Christ. Now I can tell you that there are multitudes of wicked men who have rejected Christ that are going to experience the fullness of what Jesus experienced in those 3 hours on the cross. And they will experience it for eternity. You and I will never understand what Jesus went through when he went into those lower regions typified by his baptism into Jordan. We will never know it. I hear people who like to become rather sensational about what God has shown to them and how close that they got to hell so they would be able to minister to others. Don't even believe it, because a believer will never experience anything near what Jesus did when he was on the cross of Calvary. We have been delivered from that because we were baptized into his death. There was nothing special about the River Jordan. Old Naaman knew that. Why aren't the rivers of Abana and Pharpar, aren't they even cleaner and better than this? That's the reasoning of man. But God was teaching a lesson. Down into death with Jesus is the only way of cleansing from leprosy. And Naaman finally acknowledged that. Verse 14 of our chapter. Then went he down. Naaman, he went down. It's the same way for every one of us. Give up all of the pride. Give up all of the reasoning. Give up all of man's ideas. Simply go down. Real humility. Go down in death into Jordan. Into death with Christ. He dipped himself 7 times in Jordan. You can underline it. According to the saying of the man of God. We say the same thing today. Anytime you are willing to obey the Word of God, you will be rewarded for it. It was according to the saying of the man of God, the Word. That's what this man did. He expressed his faith in this wonderful symbol. And what happened? His flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. In our language, he was born again right then and there, and now an infant, a new creation in Christ Jesus. I want to close with 1 Peter 3:21 once again, because this is he summarizes it so well. In this verse, 1 Peter 3, verse 21, the like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. And Peter adds emphatically, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, and the answer, but rather the answer of a good conscience toward God. You can cut off all the stuff you want to. You can clean yourself as much as you possibly can. Doesn't avail a thing. Only the answer of an absolutely clear conscience before God is going to do it. And you will notice Peter closes, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that is the secret. Jesus went down into the lower depths and regions figured by Jordan, but he came up in newness of life. And now, as we read in verse 22, he is gone into heaven. He's on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. His day of humiliation is over. And so today we remember that Jesus bore all of that pain, the sorrow, the grief, the humiliation, all of the judgment of outer darkness. He bore all of that, that we might come through death on dry ground and not even get our feet wet.